Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. And I'm so excited. I've never spoken to somebody named Snake before.
Well, I guess there's a first for everything, right?
That's right. It's almost been 40 years in the music biz. I read in a recent article, you said one of the reasons you guys are still successful today is because you guys paid close attention to the business side of rock and roll. So talk to me about the longevity and the staying power that Skid Row has had.
I think it really comes down to the respect that Rachel, Scotty, and I have, and the love that we have for each other, and the willingness to endure all of the ups and downs that go along with being in a band and being, you know, in this business. And the music always has to come first, and the fans have to come first as well. And so we're not a band that phones it in a live situation. We take it very seriously. We have an obligation to the people who spent their hard-earned money on a ticket to come see us and took the time out of that particular day to come see us. We're really, really aware of how gracious our audience has been with us. And we're also aware that on any particular night that we're playing, that audience could have done anything else that they wanted to do. But they decided to make some time out of their day to come see Skid Row. And that's very humbling. And I don't know how other bands feel. I presume most, if not all, feel the same way that have been doing this for a while. And we're just very, very thankful and humbled that 37 years in, that we're still able to do this. And still able to go out on tour and play our music for people, old and new music. It's such a gratifying time of our lives because we get to reflect on what we've been able to produce and accomplish. And we've been able to see the world. We're a bunch of punk kids from New Jersey and New York State. And now Rob, our drummer, who's been with us for 13, 14 years, is from Atlanta, but originally from Buffalo. And our singer, Eric, who's been in the band only for a short period of time, he's seen a lifetime of experience. If you know his story, he's from Stockholm, Sweden. So we get to experience all this stuff together. And we love hanging out with each other. Like on days off, we hang out with each other. We go out to dinner together. We're riding on the bus together. And I always believe that you have to love the music that you're playing and love the people that you're playing it with. I do this because it's in my life's blood and it's who I am. I'm a guitar player and a songwriter, and I'm a husband and dad as well. But this is what I do. So if I'm going to do this, I want to be able to do it with people that I love and respect and enjoy spending time with. And that's where we're at right now.
You talk about Eric, and he's been around for a couple years now, but I read that he literally knew you guys for like 4 days before you took the stage. It must have just been kismet.
It was crazy. It was something I've never experienced before. We were recording the Gangs All Here record with him still in Sweden. We were doing it remotely, and we would send him like a template of the songs as far as what we were hearing melody wise, and we sent him the lyrics and obviously the musical beds and everything. And he would do it remotely with our producer Nick Raskulinitz, who is a hero among heroes for being able to pull that off. And I thought it was going to be a disaster, and it turned out to be exactly the opposite. And this was being done before we had met, you know, like face to face. So when we finally met on the way to Las Vegas to do the Scorpions residency, I had met him in New York on a layover. I gave this dude a hug like he was my best friend from high school. It was really cool. And, you know, you don't get those opportunities very often where you just meet people that you immediately gravitate towards and it's reciprocated. And then getting to know his story about everything that he's been through. We flew into Las Vegas. The next 2 days we rehearsed. We took a day off. And then we started the Scorpions residency.
That's wild.
Completely unheard of. He knew, he did his homework. He knew the songs. He grew up on a lot of these songs. The new stuff, he took ownership of immediately. That was really pretty special to witness. because he knew it was his voice that was going to be on those particular songs that are on The Gang's All Here. So he realized that it's his voice. He better take full ownership and accountability for being a part of that. And he did.
And he also has the advantage, too, of being with the guys like you that have been in the biz for as long as you have. You can kind of give him pointers. You can help him out. You can guide him along, too. If you were to go back to your younger self, what's a piece of advice that you would give your younger self today?
The only thing I would say, I think, is not being in the moment at the very first go-round of Skid Row. I was always too worried and concerned with tomorrow and what happened yesterday. And don't get me wrong, I have extremely fond memories of so many different shows that we played, but I don't think I lived in the moment. I wasn't mindful enough back then. So I've attempted to change that through the course of the following years, and I've been successful and I've been unsuccessful, but definitely more successful than I was at the very beginning when we first started touring the world. That's the one thing I would tell myself is, stay in the moment, dude. Like, experience this moment that you're in. You know, tomorrow's going to be tomorrow. You can worry about it whenever. And, you know, yesterday is yesterday. So you can't change anything. You can only learn from it. And that's just being a young kid so caught up in everything that was going on and wanting to be just on top of everything business-wise as much as I could. And also, it was all so new. And it affected everybody differently, the success that came after the release of the first record. And growing up in these small towns, I had the luxury of having, you know, one of my best friends become one of the biggest stars on the planet. I got to watch that, but I didn't experience it. And so for me, I was raised in a, you know, kind of a middle class, slightly, you know, blue collar family. And we were raised in such a way that humility was a big part of our lives and gratitude. We took those qualities and we just applied them to our lives. So when we started to become successful to the extent that we did, I don't know if we were prepared for it, but we had the right mindset for it to not get caught up in the fame and the notoriety of being in a successful band that people recognize and, you know, had taken a liking to. And part of, again, going back to your first question, that sort of mindset and that perspective, that's what's been able, helped us to be able to be around for as long as we have. Because we never took anything for granted. We never took success for granted, which I think prepared us for when success isn't as great as it once was. We all were very humbled by it and thankful and grateful and realized that it's not a birthright. It's a huge honor and gift.
But we are so excited that you're bringing that gift here March 7th to the River Cree with the Gang's All Here tour with Buck Cherry. I want to point out, it's funny you mentioned you were worried. You had anxiety. And that's something that's so normal. That's something that everybody goes through. It makes you seem like you're just one of the gang. Blue collar, as you put it.
We definitely are. I mean, I still have the same friends that I went to high school with. The friendships that I've made over the course of our career have remained strong because of the people I become friends with who are in other bands or other parts of the business are like-minded. You know, I still get blown away when we play certain songs in our set and people in the audience are mouthing the lyrics back to us and in such faraway places as like Estonia or Borneo. It's crazy to me that we were able to create something from nothing that has affected people around the world. It makes music its own special entity in that it's the greatest communicator there is because it supersedes all barriers. All of those things pair in comparison to the effect music can have on two people who've never met each other and have nothing, maybe nothing else in common other than a love for this particular piece of music. And that's just a crazy fact that we live with as songwriters and musicians. And it's really a special thing to be a part of.
Before I let you go, I want to know, what is your guilty pleasure music-wise? What's something that you listen to that people would be shocked to find out that Snake of Skid Row is listening to.
Boy genius. I think they're great. I think they're immensely talented, great songwriters on their own. And together they've created some great music. I've heard that they're, you know, going to go on hiatus for a while, which is sad to me. But I'm glad that they've created some really great music.
Well, there you go. Glowing reference right there from Dave Sabo.
Oh, Shannon, thank you so much. And please call me Snake, because anytime someone calls me Dave, I feel like I'm a 12-year-old kid about to get punished by my mom.
You know what? I'll call you Snake, because my dad's name is actually Dave. So it is a little weird.
There you go. Well, I think we might have to take a DNA test, but I'm sure that I'm not your father.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you're old enough for that yet.
Oh, you don't know that. I'm pretty old. Well, thank you so much, Shannon. I really appreciate your time. And both bands are really looking forward to getting back up there. And it's been quite some time since we've been able to get north of the border for any sort of real tour. And, you know, we couldn't have better co-headliners than Buck Cherry. They're just great people, great band. I think this is our fourth leg touring with them. And it's been such a great run. I'm excited to be able to bring this to Canada.
Oh, we can't wait. When was the last time you were in Edmonton?
Oh, my gosh. It was after the Kiss tour.
Okay.
In 2000, but I'm not quite sure exactly when it was.
Okay. Well, we haven't changed too much. You'll still know your way around.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. I will let you go so you can enjoy the rest of your day. And we are so excited. We cannot wait till you come.
Thanks for having me, Shannon. I really appreciate it.
March 7th at the River Cree with Buck Cherry. Get your tickets today. RavenRadio.ca has got the link for you.